All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad podcast. Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2024, and we are back with your Week 24 preview. So as Craig always says, let's start up those fares and get into it. Welcome to the pod, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name is Jay, and I'm here tonight with Alan, keeping the van cab warm in Craig and Maddie K's absence. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
Bracing myself for how ugly this show is going to get, man. This is either going to be the longest episode or the shortest episode.
Yeah, week 24, I really hope like you already had some of these players on your rosters and on your teams, because, yeah, you're going to have a tough time picking some of these bad boys up.
Hopefully everyone listening is on a bye this week and you can just scoop all these guys up ahead of time and start the week out strong.
Yeah, you're going to need some probably week 23 late weekend ads if you're really going to have to maximize the schedule. But anyways, as always, let's get into it. So we start as we always do with our injury report in the infirmary. Alan, you want to take us off?
Yeah, and Dan Vladar of Calgary is undergoing season-ending hip surgery with only, 3 weeks left in the season. He's expected to recover in time for next season. It sounds like Markstrom should be back this weekend. So I'm assuming Wolf will get that other start and then any future back-to-backs for the rest of the season. Yeah, if he's going to recover in time for next season, I guess this means that Vladar is still on the table unless they trade him.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, that should be on any fantasy manager's relevance mind, more so reactivate Markstrom. And if you had Vladar also in Markstrom, make sure just to
drop him.
IR. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say
drop him. Season ending. He's done.
Absolutely. Now, not season ending, but Torrey Krug on the St. Louis Blues is also out tonight with a lower body injury. This means for Justin Falk, he's been bumped now up to the power play one instead. So great opportunity, obviously, for Falk holders. Monitor again for Torrey Krug. I mean, Torrey Krug, honestly, was taxiing up and down the squad regardless. So
yeah, I was like, what's the rest of the week schedule, though? Yeah, they only play Saturday. So at that point, he might have done you a favor and you can pick someone up that has two games in the next three nights. I'm not sure if Falk is like the automatic pickup here. This is probably, you know, if you have IR or not, or if you need someone you can drop, there you go. Krug just raised his hand. Yeah. And then TJ Oshie did not play last night with an upper body injury. In his place, Michael Scarabosa slid up to line one, and then Tom Wilson took his place on power play one. That sucks if you picked him up for this week for all the off nights. Tom Wilson's probably owned in most leagues. I'm not super interested in Scarabosa. I'd rather grab someone like McMichael or see if Dylan Strome's available or Patches. Any of those other guys with name value.
Yeah, this sounds really harsh, but like I'm actually going around quickly to check up on Scarabosa because this is quite literally the very first time I've heard of him. But does he must play on the wing, I'm assuming?
He's center only in Yahoo, but he is on the wing with Ovi and I forget if it's Strome or McMichael or LaPierre right now. One of those guys.
He certainly didn't get very many minutes in the game. Mind you, it was a blowout for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but yeah, still that's definitely devastating if anyone picked up Oshie expecting to get a full slate of off-night games. Best of luck is what I guess I would say. Now, good news is not just injury points, but good news, Dylan Larkin has returned tonight for the game, and it looks like he's got a goal so far.
Yep. And it looks like he's back to line one, power play 1 minute right off the rip, so.
Yeah, oh wow, that team is absolutely slapping right now. 5-1 against the Isles. It is, yeah, that's looking.
Oh man, that's two teams who are in the battle for a wild card spot right now. That's a tough loss for the Islanders.
Wow. Why couldn't the Red Wings do this without Larkin, I guess, is the real question to make. So right? They don't have to...
I don't know. I don't know if it's so much just a locker room thing or Larkin is just that underrated as a 1C.
Absolutely.
But Victor Arvidsson returned last night. He had 1 goal, 1 assist, 5 shots on goal on 15:42 time on ice with 5:05 on the power play. Man, it sounds like... It's hard to say they slotted him back on power play one, but it seems like there were a lot of penalties in that game. Dude's a shot machine, man. If you stashed him, good on ya. If not, spoiler alert, he's probably someone you want to target for next week there.
Yeah, did he get literally more power play ice time than any other forward? He did.
Ooh, that's insane. A good question.
Yeah, so he got 5 minutes of power play time and no other forward breached the 4:30 mark. So yeah,
interesting.
I did not expect Victor Arvidsson in a world where Kempe, Kopitar, heck, Fiala. Even I guess Fiala, right? Like even at some points, like Trevor Moore was really hot too. I didn't know. Yeah. Expect Arvidsson.
Doughty was the only guy who got more power play time on ice. That's insane.
Oh man. Okay, so definitely make sure and I think he's pretty owned. Like relatively available compared to some of the other players there too, right? Like I'm looking right now on Yahoo and he is listed as 36% ownership. So as a dual wing eligible winger, yeah, definitely Victor Arvidsson, I think, is a player to target. And I think also given that in week 24, and I guess they were saying in the preview, there aren't that many teams that are going to be playing in multiple off nights, multiple setups, but you want to win early and get players early. So I think with week 24 Monday having an LA Kings game, yeah, you definitely want to spice it up by adding and checking if Arvidsson is available. And I guess our last bit of news is Mackenzie Blackwood has been activated from IR. He will start tonight. Now, this is a terrible question for me, but I'm immediately checking on Blackwood.
Well, it's the Sharks. Oh, man. Tampa. They're playing Tampa. Yeah. No. Leave him in IR. Like, drop him. He's the guy who's volunteered to be a drop to pick up someone for next week. Sheesh.
Yeah, this guy seems immediately, like, especially given that the Lightning are right now, what, functionally playing for either, like, they're punching their ticket in for the playoffs, right?
As was well it, like as Kucherov. The statistic was they're 4-0 since DeClaire has joined the team.
Well, I mean, I guess the stat rolls through, like, if they play the Sharks every night, they'll probably end up 16-0
right?
To finish the 16-0 season.
To finish the season.
Yeah, so Mackenzie Blackwood, thank you so much for coming off IR, but also at the same time, you don't need that stress on your
at first team. I got him confused with Vanacek. I was like, wait a minute, I thought that dude was done for the season. But no, it's just all those former New Jersey goaltenders, I get them mixed up.
Can you imagine if last season was just such a one-off anomaly that it deceived us for many fantasy seasons to come? Like, this is such a disappointing Devils. And it's not really been the Devils' offense, so to speak. Like they've kind of kept pace with the scoring, not as much as last season, so to speak. But at least they've scored. But man, that defense definitely did such a Cinderella pumpkin run. It's mind boggling at times. I guess that's our talking points and our injury report. And Allen, you can take it through our schedules.
Yeah. So, oh man, this is dismal is an understatement. The best schedules are Anaheim and Vegas, who have 4 games with one off night. And really, I put any team that had at least one off night, I threw them in here. Buffalo and Vancouver have 3 games with 2 off nights. Boston, LA, Ottawa, and St. Louis all have 3 games with one off night. And then an honorable mention to New Jersey and Tampa, who have 2 games with 1 off night. Everyone else has 3 games, all on that Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday slate. Except for Minnesota and New York Islanders, who only have 2, both on busy days. For streamers, oh hey, we were just talking about this guy. Thanks, past me. Victor Arvidsson, left wing, right wing, 36%. He's back from injury, and yeah, he's line 3, but really they kind of roll those lines pretty evenly. And as we saw, that didn't stop him from getting the most power play time of any forward. And dude just shoots. And obviously, if you shoot a ton, you're going to score at least one. Ivan Barbashev, Vegas center left wing, 37%. Line 1, power play 1. prime deployment. It just sucks because none of those middle, that top six guys are really doing much right now. Because I checked, like, him, Chando, Nick Waugh, Mantha. Mantha's just going for free skates, it looks like. It looks like he got the trade bag and just quit trying. And then, interesting development to keep an eye on, Pia Suter, Vancouver, center only, 1%, but he is back on the Miller and Besser line and power play one. He had 20 minutes time on ice in the previous game. So if that sticks, that could be a sneaky, sneaky ad for next week.
Is Pius Suter taking what should have been Elias Lindholm's minutes?
Eh, I mean, he's not doing anything with him. I mean, what? He scored those two goals like right when he got traded and then just has done jack all since.
Jeez, my goodness. What a fall from grace, I guess, is truly truly the state.
Right? And he's still got to secure the bag. Like, how's he going to secure the bag if he's done nothing? And then goalies, Seattle, both goalies are, I mean, they're, you know, they might be available. Decord's dropped to 52% and Grubauer's 39%. They have two games versus Anaheim next week. So whoever gets either one of those starts, whether they alternate or give both of them to one goalie, that could be bank for you. Casey DeSmith, he's still at 40%. There's no firm timeline on Demko still, and he'll definitely play on two off nights, which makes him incredibly easy to slot in. And then next, I couldn't really find like a third solid guy to pick up, but just watch for the matchups versus weaker teams. Pittsburgh plays Columbus twice. So maybe Nedeljkovic gets at least one of those. Edmonton plays Anaheim on, I think, Saturday. So Calvin Pickard. And then Philly plays Montreal and Chicago. I think Samuel Ersson is well below 50% owned. But yeah, they could either play him or I think Sandstrom is the current backup right now. And then big boy bangers. Keegan Kolesar on Vegas, right wing, 2%. Very consistent hitter. Zemgus Girgensons, which sounds like you're gargling water or something, on Buffalo. He is left wing, 2%. He's supposedly on line one right now with Thompson and Tuck, but his minutes don't really reflect that. I wonder if he's just their puck retriever because he really doesn't do anything for them but hit. And then Alex Lafreniere on LA, right wing, 1%. He's line three with Arvidsson with fairly consistent hits, and it seems like he's got a little bit of point upside to him. But with that, I will hand it over to Jay.
Just talking a little bit on that goalie situation with Joey and Grubb, like, I think it's going to be a real nail scratcher and head scratcher because I don't think Grubb has, there's no person with more job security than 10, like, there are 10.5 million reasons why Grubauer might have that crease locked up. And yet at the same time, obviously looking at the goalies, just, I think, it's reasonable to argue that Joey Decord's ceiling is just so much higher. But at the same time, right now, Haxtell, I think, is the coach, right? And I think he's really just going to be playing whomever can give that team in the last dying, baiting breaths of any playoff hope. Like, I don't even know what the standings are, but I'm very certain it's desperate and looking spry. Like, right now, the Kraken are... There are the Sharks and the Ducks who are already eliminated and the Kraken are not far behind. And so I think the Kraken need to win pretty damn close to like 12 to 13 of their last 15 games if they even want to sniff or have any semblance of a shot at playoffs. They're going to play whichever goalie is winning more. And unfortunately, neither goalie is really hot so far, but that means you're going to most likely be just splitting up and grabbing whomever is there. You honestly probably even want to throw in either goalie on, even if they're not the guaranteed starter, because I'm not even betting that either of them won't get pulled midway through a 3-0 first period, and the other one slots in for an impromptu, I guess, like 2 1/3 period start. So Seattle's a pretty bona fide juicy option right now for goalie setups and streams, both goalies being around that area. I think I would personally tend toward grabbing Grubb if I had to choose one of the two. They have a pretty good schedule, I think, as well. Not in week 24, but in week 25. So, yeah, just monitor that goalie setup. Okay, now, talking a bit about that strategy, I have several teams I guess I'll hone in and zero in on, but as Alan mentioned, so there are several teams that you should target, and not just target, but you should target hold. So in week 23 Sunday, all these teams play on Saturday, but they also hold pretty good week 24 schedules. So think about your LA Kings, your St. Louis Blues, your Vancouver Canucks, and your Vegas Golden Knights. So all those teams play Saturday, and those four teams are the only teams actually that play on the week 24 Monday, so you can get a quick, I guess, holdover streamer, I guess free stream if you held on to those guys. On the flip side, there are some teams that you should definitely target drop with the expectation that obviously their week 24 isn't that great. And the two teams are first the New York Islanders and the Minnesota Wild. Both teams play only on the week 24 Thursday and Saturday, which means for the first half of the week they don't do anything. So you got to get rid of these guys in order for you to have the streamer option to take other players. And so in terms of target dropping, the Islanders are very interesting. They have, again, the worst two-game week 24 schedule. They also have a very good week 25 schedule. They play four games. If I'm looking, I believe they play on only one. Oh, no, just kidding. Okay, so they play on one off night, but they play early. They get a week, I guess, 25 Monday, Tuesday, back-to-back. So you can slot them in, play them early. You can drop them or keep them. And they also don't play on the week 25 Sunday. So you can drop them right after playing four games and still get an additional fifth game. So the Islanders are a great week 25 team. Now, the sucky part is it doesn't matter, right? It does not matter if you have a great week 25 schedule if your team lost. So monitor to check and see, because there are suggestions for drops on the Islanders that are going to be really tetsy. I'm going to say first right off, any player that is Anders Lee and lower in terms of ownership, immediately drop. Not worth the headache, not worth the concern. You need that streaming spot. Semyon Varlamov, he's probably not going to start either of the two games. Immediate drop. The power play one quarterback, you will never get back. So there is no, even if they only play two games, you deal with it. You already had the good week 23. There is a good week 25 schedule. Noah Dobson, he's going to lock in, and he's great. But here's the thing. There are three players on the Islanders, and you're going to have to make some really tough decisions, because you could honestly be feeding the victory straight to your opponent if, you know, you dropped any of these guys and they coasted through week 24 and could burn an early ad and grab one of them. They would be obviously far better than any streamers elsewise available. But at the same time, if they're only going to ride pine on your week and you need those plays and games played, none of these three guys are going to help you anyway. So the three guys obviously are Bo Horvat, Matthew Barzal, and Brock Nelson. Now, I'm going to say, first of all, Matthew Barzal is probably the least droppable of all of them, given that the right wing position is still so scarce. There's probably no one else you have on a wire that's available. Like, even Wyatt Johnston skyrocketed like over the past few weeks from like 33% ownership to like 60% ownership. And maybe that's because he was red hot, but mostly probably because he was sent, right wing eligible. But Bo Horvat's only center eligible. You could reasonably say that there's probably another player that could play early in week 24 that you could pick up. So Bo Horvat, I think, is probably of the three players most, like, heaviest in consideration for, can you fit him in? If you can fit him in only for the two games, is there another player? For example, like a William Karlsson, right, who's going to play four games in the next week. Like, could he possibly outproduce while on the wire a Bo Horvat in week 24? Now, Brock Nelson's the other player. Brock Nelson is center left wing eligible, so maybe he can fit into more lineups. But I mean, left wings are pretty stacked as is as well. So just tough decisions ahead for the Islanders, specifically that they have fantasy relevant players, but their fantasy relevant players might not play anyway, and you might need those ads. If you can stomach and win comfortably without even needing to ice an Islander, then frick, just hold on to him and you probably would have won your league anyway, and they will definitely help you in week 25. there's a super deep strategy, and this one is going to go slightly into the weeds, but bear with me here, taxi cab listeners. So if you were to drop, the make sure you do so early. What I mean by early is I would say the moment Monday rolls around, Monday, March 25th, drop them early so you can maximize your streams for week 24. I would even say if you've locked up week 23, drop them on week 23 Sunday and give up and forego their performance on that game so that you can unlock further ads for the rest of week 24. But the important part there is that if you drop them early into week 24, and the next, I guess, manager that is built on name recognition just jumps up overeager and grabs them and snags them and burns a valuable ad on a player that is only going to play on a heavy Thursday or Saturday, congratulations. You now have poison-pilled a potential opponent, and you probably can have a higher chance of beating them in week 24. Now, at the same time, if you don't drop them early enough and you didn't make the decision, as the days roll on, it's not that they don't play any games. It's that the Islanders don't play games early in week 24. If you drop them and they are rolling into the next week and they're saying, wow, I can already plan, I can fit them into my end of week 24 schedule, you've just gifted your opponents Matthew Barzal. And you don't want that. So if you're going to make your decision to drop this guy, drop him early. And heck, maybe you'd even stand a chance if they cleared the free agency that you can add them back up for later on in the week, but you've freed up the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for you to stream
still think
other
that's
players.
Gutsy, man. Like, those are somewhat, those are guys you're probably not going to get back at all. So,
oh, definitely. Yeah.
Hopefully
that's a huge
you traded
well.
Them months ago, or like I said, expect, you know, you dropped, they got you this far, you dropped them and thanked them for their time.
Oh, absolutely. It's a high risk, high reward. They are clearly probably the most double-edged team that you can decide on with these week 24, week 25 splits. But that's the sort of gutsy moves that win you, or, well, lose you, leagues. Okay, I've talked so much about the Islanders at this point. We're just going to move on past, but note that team and just make some decisions for yourself early looking ahead into the weekend of week 23, rolling into week 24. Okay. Minnesota's the other team. First two players that you have to drop from Minnesota no matter what, Gus and Marc-Andre Fleury, right? Like, those two players right now are, they're doing well and then doing spoozy. So if they're not going to be consistent for you, and then they're probably splitting one, like getting one start each anyway, they're not worth on your roster when you're considering quarterfinals or semifinals. Okay, so that out of the way, everyone else really, aside from Kaprizov, you could argue Boldy, and obviously Jeek is still
Boldy's been tearing it up, but depending on if it's, you know, win or die time, Boldy can go. I mean, Kaprizov in a keeper league, absolutely not.
Yeah, Boldy in a keeper league as well. Yeah, he's not movable, but aside from Kaprizov, Jeek, and Boldy, everyone is droppable at this point. And yep. I would even mention, like, this kind of sounds toxic for me, for Brock Faber, but no, Brock Faber is not ownable for
nope,
week 24.
I think we said that weeks
purposes.
Ago. Brock Faber, totally droppable. I think he's, you know, rookies are unpredictable, and I think maybe all that ice time has finally gotten to him, and he is just burnt out.
And I mean, even in the last game, and mind you, it was a blowout, but who is this guy called Declan Chisel? Like, maybe he's some other rookie player, or maybe he's some other, I don't know, like bonfire
prospect. Yeah, I think
he's
like a prospect.
But if as a rookie, Brock Faber is still losing power play one time to another prospect, this is not great. This is not a great look for Brock Faber stands here. It's time to drop. And no, I am not going to say drop Brock Faber and pick up Declan Chisholm. Like, come on, we just told you the schedule is terrible. Just clear it all out. Look for a safe peripheral delivering floor of a player and move on with the day. Notable as well, we mentioned that Jeek was hurt on IR plus. Ryan Hartman is the pickup, but no, Ryan Hartman is now also worthy to be dropped with a two-game schedule. You would keep Jeek if he had only two games. With Ryan Hartman, you do not hold on to Ryan Hartman. You drop him and you move on to bigger and better things. Okay, Now, in terms of bigger and better things, though, it's probably way easier for me to mention all the teams to drop, but there aren't that many teams to mention as, like, bona fide pickups. I think there are two teams that I would immediately target for different reasons. Vegas is the first team. You target them because they play the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back, and there is a semi-decent chance that you're going to get two quick games, and then you can seasonably and reasonably drop them and not hurt too much. Vegas also is great in the sense that they have a very heavy early week 24, and you won't even feel bad about dropping them since they have a two-game week 25. So don't even worry about, like this is literally a pump and a dump setup. Go for certain names. I would say first off, like chuck Tomas Hertl onto your IR or IR plus just for the off chance hope that he comes back. Ivan Barbashev is currently 37% ownership. I think you can foresee a 13%, 15% bump in ownership. So be part of that upswing and upswell. Brady McNabb, right, 31% owned. He's only D1 pairing, but he gets so many blocks. I guess now that I'm saying blocks too, I guess Alec Martinez, he had two games in a row where he didn't record a block, which is almost as incredible as any other stat I've read. But he's also normally a block machine, and he's, what, normally 7% owned? Like, that was, like, the last I checked. So Alec Martinez, Braden McNabb, you can try to get some of those guys. And then the two dual-eligible centers that Vegas kind of just swaps and swindles through, Chandler Stephenson, 22% owned. He gets power play two-time. And probably he's probably a low risk, high reward player, which is the best that you want. It's Nicholas Waugh, like 5% owned. So like he's unowned functionally everywhere. He was injured for a little bit. And I think that's where his drops also came through. But notably, he's on line two, power play one, and he's dual eligible, right? So think about a stacked wagon of a team that's Vegas, obviously a bit slumping the past few months, but these are still the defending champs. If he, at 5% ownership right now, is still getting a back-to-back Monday and Tuesday in week 24, you can probably expect his ownership to be around 12, I think like 15% by the time it gets to end of week 23, beginning of week 24. And you want to be part of that. You want to own Nicholas Waugh stocks if you can. So
you also got to hope Anthony Mantha gets going, because otherwise, like, no one on that line is really a good trigger man, a scorer, like Chando, Rob Thomas Light, Nick Waugh. I mean, I think he was only really good when Stone was healthy. But Mantha going for free skates.
Vegas has its own, I guess, problems to iron out and kink out, like even just for the sake of them wanting to be a competitive lineup, right? Like this team does not necessarily play, and their roster has not shown, I guess, in the standings the past few months, the same team that's been the championship contending defender, right? But mind you, at the same time, they're not in the worst space possible if their team is just keeping healthy for the actual dance. But keep in mind that that's probably terrible for you as a fantasy manager, because you don't want your players resting. You want your players to be neck and neck like a Kucherov and a McKinnon and trying to best the other for the Art Ross. That's what you want. Goals galore, goal fests. I don't know if Vegas is necessarily part of all of those, but they are definitely part of the early week 24 Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. So first team to target, the Vegas Golden Knights. Get them early, drop them quickly after on the Wednesday. And the other team that you should target is Buffalo. Now, Buffalo's main reason is not that they win early, but that Buffalo is one of the only team that plays in the early window of back-to-back, early window of off nights. So they have the Wednesday and Friday off night, and then that still opens up the Saturday, Sunday back-to-back slot that you can add on for your juicy five-game week using a streamer.
And it looks like, update on Buffalo, JJ Paterka is now on line one, and he has a goal tonight.
So pencil in your JJ Paterkas, yeah. Because if that goal is anything to come by, yeah, hopefully that is many, many more too. I think he's also,
yeah, that Gergensen's we'll have to check. But that Gergensen's deployment confused me. I don't know why they threw a random guy like that on line one, but they tried Okposo earlier. No, power play one is still Thompson, Cousins, Tuck, Byram, and Dahlin.
So probably power play two, I guess, is Paterka?
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah.
My phone would cooperate. There we go. Yeah. And then, God, man, I'm glad I didn't pick up Skinner because he's line three right now. Power play two. He must have fallen out of favor real quick there.
And the thing is, can you imagine falling out of favor just as you've scored? What was it? Like his past game was, the previous game was a hat trick, right? Oh, and then he went for his free skate against Vancouver. Yeah, I can kind of see how that comes around. But yeah, so Buffalo's going to be an intriguing one. I think, Alan, so to speak, I think Craig, you and I were part of the crew that was talking up Buffalo before the season started. Right. So maybe that drove some of the ownership value in some ways. But yeah, you're looking.
I fell for the Tage trap, man. I took him second round, and that was rough.
And I mean, you look over here and you see what, like 100% ownership, 96% ownership for Tage, even.
Tuck is 79.
Yeah, 79% ownership. You're going down until Owen Power before you drop to anyone under 50% owned. But even there's still value, right? Like, so you
say,
see there's...
Bowen Byram is 51%. Absolutely, right? Just go check.
Oh, absolutely. I think the tough part, too, is that there are certain players that might have played in certain settings and with injuries and, I think, benchings. Like, Jordan Greenway, where do we stand on that? Like, at one point, he got power play one, but now he's, you know, kind of faded into the background a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to get some scoring going, even though their season's pretty much over.
And the brutal part, too, for you fantasy manager and listener, is that unfortunately, with such a scrimpy week 24, like, maybe Jordan Greenway is an emblematic character of what we're looking at here for barrels, right? Where you're really hoping that in those games, just since nobody else is playing that night, like, I really do think Buffalo just happens to be one of, well, okay, maybe not. Like, there's three games in total for context between the Wednesday and the Friday off nights. There are three games in total, and Buffalo plays in two of them. So if you ever have any questions about, hey, what team can I possibly own to up my ownership, you know, and up my games played, you have it. It's Buffalo. And you still have the chance after you drop, you know, your Buffalo streamer to get more games played out of the week. You don't really have any other options. It's brutal. You're really looking at, like, it's kind of a J.J. Paterka race at this point, if I'm looking at the ownership, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, J.J. Paterka, check Bowen Byram. Other than that, it's...
Power. Yeah, like, it's going to be rough, honestly. But, yeah, so two teams, right? First is Vegas. Go for the early Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. You can even double them up, right? You can even have the same streaming spot for your Vegas player. Hope to God nobody took the Buffalo player for the Wednesday and Friday off night. And that would be probably the craziest stream because you would unlock six games played if you could somehow swing that one where you got, let's say you got a Nicholas Waugh or an Ivan Barbashev on Monday, Tuesday. And then afterwards you dropped them and you gained on the off nights J.J. Paterka. And then afterwards, you looked through and decided to check out any of the Saturday, Sunday back-to-backs, and there you have it. You've unlocked six games in one streaming spot with a week. Aside from that, it's really tough. Like, we're even going to jump to one team here that only plays, I guess, technically one off night, but it's structured in a Tuesday-Wednesday back-to-back format. I know Tuesday is a heavy night, but just check to see if you have any available spots. If you do, you definitely are going to have the Wednesday available slots, so look toward Boston. I mean, even then, I'm looking at Boston here, and like the top three guys are all gone, like 99, 98% owned. And then you have what? Like maybe a Charlie Coyle? Pavel Zacha was bouncing up and had some power play points in the past 2 weeks. Geez, aside from that, it's going to be a toughie, right? Like, these guys are all 40, 45% owned, like Charlie Coyle, Hampus Lindholm, Jake DeBrus, Pavel Zacha. You're really going to play ring around the rosy, and Boston isn't entirely married to any of these players for their power play one setup either. The top three guys will get their due, and then everyone else is kind of in a merry-go-round. So it's not the worst if you can fit them in on busy Tuesday, because functionally you're getting an extra game anyway on the Wednesday. But yeah, aside from Boston, like it's going to be tough in terms of suggested pickups. This is probably the barest bones of any team we've suggested. But remember, early on, you want Vegas. If you want off nights, you're going to go for Buffalo. And then for an early, not Monday, Tuesday back-to-back, but Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back, you're going to go look in the well in Boston. And with that, I'm going to throw back to Alan.
Well, that's going to go ahead and wrap the show. Told you it'd be an ugly one. As usual, we ask that you beautiful listeners out there like, subscribe, give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. You can also follow us on Twitter and YouTube. All that info is in the show notes. And, you know, Saturday is a busy day. If only there was some live streaming show where you could ask who to sit and who to start. I think that might be on the 5-Hole YouTube channel on Saturdays on 11 Eastern. And if you haven't already, come join us on the 5-Hole Discord. And if you can't make the live show, if you leave your questions there for Saturday, we answer them live. And then that stream is immediately available on YouTube. Good luck and good hockey this week and next week. And thanks for listening.
We'll pick you up later.